Hello and welcome to Radio Prague. I'm Dita Siedu and we start the program with a brief news bulletin. Czech President Václav Klaus has asked the chairman of the Czech Constitutional Court to evaluate whether the European Constitution complies with the Czech one. In a letter to Pavel Rychetský, Mr. Klaus asked whether the ratification of the EU Constitution ought to be preceded by amendments to the Czech Constitution. President Klaus has been keen to warn Czech citizens of the implications of ratifying the European Constitution, saying it would limit the sovereignty of individual EU member states, especially smaller countries like the Czech Republic. The Constitution has also been criticized by the center-right opposition Civic Democrats and the Communist Party. The Cabinet has decided to lower the minimum wage to motivate people into preferring lower-paid jobs to unemployment benefits. The minimum monthly wage, which currently stands at 4,300 Czech crowns, or some $180, is to be reduced to 2,870 crowns. If approved by Parliament and signed by the President, the new minimum could be introduced as early as January 2006. The opposition right-of-centre Civic Democrats have asked Prime Minister Stanislav Gross to explain to Parliament where he got the money to buy his Prague flat. The call comes after Czech media reports called into question Mr. Gross's ability to have paid for the flat on his official salary. The Prime Minister recently disclosed a net income of the past few years that he said proved he could afford the flat, but was criticized for including various allowances which parliamentarians are allotted to cover expenses such as transport and meals. The culture ministers of Poland, Slovakia, Hungary and Germany have signed a declaration of the foundation of a European network that would document forced migration in the region in the 20th century. The establishment of the foundation, which is to be called Memory and Solidarity, was not supported by the Czech Republic. The Czech Culture Ministry says it chose not to join the initiative as the organizational and financial aspects of the project have not been clearly defined. The chairman of the Czech Senate, Přemysl Sobotka, has praised Slovakia for its tax reforms. Mr. Sobotka, who is currently on a two-day trip to Bratislava, said on Wednesday that Slovakia's bold step to introduce a uniform corporate and personal income tax rate of 19% is beginning to bear fruit. While the country is attracting ever more investors, the neighboring Czech Republic is gradually losing them. The foreign tourist who was seriously injured when a 25-meter Christmas tree toppled over at Prague's Old Town Square in 2003 is to be financially compensated by the city of Prague. The 54-year-old British tourist had suffered fractures to both femurs and his spine and must still use a wheelchair. He's to receive €14,000 in compensation. Prague Mayor Pavel Bam says that is only a symbolic sum because City Hall did not bear responsibility for the accident. And some football. The Czech international football goalkeeper Petr Čech has set a new record for minutes gone without conceding a goal in England's prestigious Premier League. On Wednesday, Čech, who at 22 is young for a top-flight goalkeeper, extended the Premiership record to 781 minutes when he kept another clean sheet for his club Chelsea. The Plzeň-born player also holds the Czech league record of 903 minutes, which he set while at Sparta Prague. I'm Dita Asiru, and that's the end of the news.
You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, and I'm Peter Smith. Coming up in today's programme, 12 years after the split, latest research suggests that the Czechs are less enamoured with life than their neighbours, the Slovaks. More of that in a moment. Also, we discuss the record-breaking form of Chelsea goalkeeper Petr Čech. Plus, in Business Report, Brian Kennedy explains the software giant Microsoft's latest plan to crack the pirating market here in the Czech Republic. Please don't go away. 12 years after the breakup of the Czechoslovak Federation, the mood in the two countries has changed radically. The once upbeat Czechs, who were considered a role model for the post-communist world in the early 90s, are in a slump. Their Slovak neighbours, who risked a lower living standard in return for complete independence, are upbeat and optimistic about the future. Daniela Lazarová has the story.
If the Czech government ever needed a persuasive argument in favour of radical reforms, then this would be it. In recent years, the Slovak government undertook a radical overhaul of public finances. And although people's living standards dropped sharply as a result, Slovaks now feel that they're over the worst and that things can only get better. Věra Haberlová of the STEM polling agency explains.
The Slovaks made more radical decisions, and although their government's pro-reform line has made people's lives harder, its policy has dynamics. It is transparent, and people know where their country is heading, whether they agree with it or not. Here, governments have been more cautious. We've been treading water, and Czechs have grown lethargic as a result. Right now, Czechs are far less optimistic about the future than their Slovak neighbours.
A unique poll conducted by Czech and Slovak sociologists reveals that Slovaks are worried about social security and maintaining their living standard, while Czechs are largely concerned about unemployment and crime. Unlike their eastern neighbours, Czechs feel that the worst is yet to come when the impact of the long overdue health and pension reforms hits. The number of Czechs who are happy with their lives today is higher than the respective number of Slovaks, 68% here against 48% in Slovakia. But a look at the trend over the past decade suggests that in Slovakia the number of satisfied people has grown by 12%, while in the Czech Republic by just 1%. 10 years ago, 40% of Czechs said they expected their lives to improve over the next 5 years. That figure has now fallen by nearly a half. Paradoxically, the two countries' struggle to deal with reforms and find their place in the new Europe has brought them closer and has eradicated any doubts over the breakup of Czechoslovakia. Věra Haberlová again.
Po těch 12 letech samostatnosti v obou republikách převládl názor, že to v zásadě bylo správné.
After 12 years of living apart, the prevalent opinion in both countries is that the divorce was the right thing to do. At the time, more people were against the breakup than in favor, but people today have accepted it, and most of them say that with hindsight, it was the right decision.
Akceptovali a nakonec se ukázalo, že to v zásadě bylo správně.
Although at the time of the split, few people believed that Slovakia could keep up with the EU frontrunner states and join the union alongside the Czech Republic, it has achieved that goal. And possibly because of the effort it took, Slovaks are more supportive of their country's EU membership than Czechs are.
Daniela Lazarová there. Now, last weekend, tens of thousands of Iraqi exiles took part in their country's first free elections since 1953, among them members of the Czech Republic's Iraqi community, which numbers around 250. To get the perspective of an Iraqi living in this country, Ian Willoughby spoke to Zaidan Muhsin, who is from Baghdad and has been living in Prague for 15 years. He asked Mr. Muhsin how he viewed last week's elections and the future of Iraq.
The most important, that election was held, and this is important, I think, but doesn't matter who will be the winner, because finally the Iraqi people themselves are the winners.
After this election, is it tenable for the Americans and their allies to remain in Iraq, for their troops to remain in Iraq, or will there be growing pressure, do you think, on them to leave, even though the Iraqi army doesn't have sufficient troops themselves yet to control the country?
Actually, it is unreal demanding these troops to leave now. I hope that they will help to educate, to train, to help our police, army, and even this is the force and the armed force in Iraq, just to be able. How long it is really questioned. Some of these people, they think till by the end of this year. Some of them, they say maybe 3, 4, 5 years. But I believe these people, they will never stay forever.
When you talk to your friends and family at home in Iraq, are they optimistic about the future of the country?
Absolutely. And exactly the day of the election, I have got near about 5 telephones from my brothers, even my father, who was 83, even from my mother. They were so happy. They said, for example, just I will say that my mother says, Zaidan, son, I'm 68 and I have never seen my life such a nice day like this. So I think people are so happy and in general optimistic, really.
And you yourself, I can see, share that optimism.
Well, actually, because you see, that was my aim to establish democracy in Iraq. And after this, all the evil and dictatorship of Saddam Hussein, I believe everything in Iraq will be okay because nothing is missing. You see, 25 million people, the majority of them are educated, skilled people, and they are really love this country. Iraq, more than that, is a rich country. We could rebuild Iraq in a very, very quick and very fast manner. And I hope those people who would like to stop this process forever, sure that they will be defeated. Because you see, I believe in the future and progress.
That was Zaidan Muhsin talking to Ian Willoughby. Now, there's a new exhibition that has opened that looks to celebrate the joys of communist life in the 20th century. Sounds interesting. Coileen O'Connor has more.
Communist workers sing with gusto of the joys of communist rule and praise the virtues of the socialist system they live under. This sort of propaganda was typical of the regimes in the former Soviet bloc, where people were constantly bombarded with information on how lucky they were to be living in a workers' paradise. Now, a new exhibition called The Power of Images and the Images of Power has opened in Prague, which is displaying a collection of posters from the 20th century promoting the virtues of the communist system. Jan Trestik is one of the owners of the gallery putting on the exhibition. So why did he feel it was important to compile these images of communist propaganda and to present them to the public?
There is like two aspects. First, that some of these posters are really nice, I mean graphically. And the second aspect is that if you think about the message, what is inside these posters, you have strange feeling about this. It was quite a challenge to do this exhibition because we think that there are still many things and features which we can see in the poster alive today. And we think that propaganda and ideology can be dangerous also in the future time.
The posters are accompanied by quotes from famous texts on totalitarian systems by authors such as Hannah Arendt and Erik Fögelin. Tomasz Boyar, who studies politics and law at Charles University, chose most of them and feels they help place the images people see in their proper context.
I believe that these posters should not be perceived primarily as pieces of art, really. All the artists who actually served the criminal regime were mere instruments, and that therefore we were trying to kind of show a story of communist totalitarianism. These posters were supposed to illustrate certain features of it, certain important aspects.
So what sort of response has Mr. Boyar got from people visiting the exhibition?
Basically, I would say people are rather surprised by the actual strength of the posters and sometimes even horrified. Some people obviously just come to laugh and they're only impressed by the absurdity of the posters. But some people who are aware of the suffering that's behind them and who really remember the atrocities of the communist rule, they tell us, thanks for this exhibition for showing like the real essence of communist totalitarianism.
One striking feature of the exhibition, which can be followed chronologically, is how the powerful early images of communist workers building a perfect society give way to crass pictures from the 1970s and 80s depicting plump, happy socialist families in their homes or young communists on holiday in Bulgaria. Tomasz Boyar says this epitomizes the entire socialist experiment.
We find this ending of the exhibition rather metaphoric, and we believe that the style of the posters actually illustrates the sad ending of communism, where all enthusiasm of the workers and the ideologues is vanished, and what remains is really just a kind of total goulash, as I would say. These images are still included in the exhibition just to show the sad story.
Tomáš Boyar, ending that report by Colleen O'Connor. And the exhibition is on at the Galeria u Křižovníku, which is next to the Charles Bridge, until the 30th of March. Now on to some great news from the world of Czech sport. Petr Cech, the goalkeeper for the national football team, has crowned a brilliant first season at the English club Chelsea by setting a new Premiership record of minutes gone without conceding a goal. He hasn't let a goal in for an incredible 781 minutes. That's almost 9 full matches. Ian Willoughby has been following Petr Cech's career and joins me now in the studio. So, Ian, for listeners who maybe aren't big football fans, just who is Petr Cech?
Well, Petr Cech is a very successful young man. He was born in the West Bohemian town of Pilsen. That's where he began his career, at the local club Victoria Pilsen. But he really made his name at Sparta Prague. And when he was there, he also set the Czech league record for not conceding goals. He went there 903 minutes without conceding, and he also made a very big impact when the Czechs won the European Under-21s Championships 3 years ago. In the final, he saved 2 penalties, and he was definitely man of the match. After that, he very wisely went from Sparta to a small club outside the Czech Republic. He went to Rennes in France to gain experience before stepping up into the big league. But the big league is definitely where he is now.
Certainly, one of the biggest ones, the Premiership. Well, on Wednesday, of course, is when he set the record. Tell us what happened.
Well, Wednesday was a very big night for Petr Cech. Not only did he set the new Premiership record, which, as you say, is 781 minutes, but he also brilliantly saved a penalty to make sure that Chelsea took all 3 points from that game against Blackburn. Incredibly, in 25 league games, he has 19 clean sheets, which is really almost unheard of. Chelsea are very likely to win the league, and Petr Cech says he would happily swap any record for a league title. He hasn't won one yet in his career. He always puts his success down to the quality of Chelsea's defence, so he's also not only a great goalkeeper, he's a very modest guy.
Well, the strange thing is as well, they say that good goalkeepers aren't even born until they're in their 30s, but Petr Cech is very young. What do you think the future holds for him?
Well, he is very young. He's 22, and you're right, goalkeepers do tend to peak later than other players, and Cech has already been voted the second best goalkeeper in the world, so in many ways you could say the sky's the limit. He already has almost 30 Czech international caps, and so I would say, barring injury or some kind of bizarre loss of form, he's very likely to set the appearances record for the Czech Republic. Now I think it's about 100 or something. And who knows, maybe in 15 years' time we'll be still sitting here talking about the great Petr Cech. And, of course, it's very early to say, but he could someday be a legend of Czech football, or who knows, even international football.
Well, a great ambassador for his country anyway. Thank you very much, Ian. And moving on, though, to Business Report, presented by Brian Kennedy.
Hello and welcome to Business Report. I'm Brian Kennedy. This week we look at the significance of a Prague visit by Bill Gates, yes, the US billionaire and Microsoft Corporation founder. A number of new Microsoft projects could be in the pipeline, but those of you using Czech language pirated software may be in for a nasty surprise. That story is coming up shortly, but first here's Martin Mikulay with a look at the latest business news.
A Prague appeals court this week upheld a 5-year jail sentence against former Czech finance minister Ivo Svoboda, who has become the first government minister sent to prison since the fall of communism in 1989. Both he and his one-time advisor Barbora Snopková were convicted in March of siphoning nearly $250,000 from the accounts of the Liberta baby carriage producer while one of the company's board between 1996 and 1998. Social benefits for the long-term employed will be reduced next year from the current 4,300 crowns per month to 2,870, the equivalent of about $125. The cuts are part of a government plan introduced this week that is looking to motivate people to choose work over welfare. Housing allowances will be increased somewhat to offset the social benefit cuts. In London, at 315% of the European Union average, is the richest of the 37 regions in the EU. According to a study by the official statistical agency Eurostat, the vast majority of the poorest regions are within the new EU member states. The Czech capital, Prague, which reached 153% of the EU average in 2002, was the only region in New Europe to exceed 125% of the EU average. At 32% of the EU average, Lubelskie in eastern Poland was ranked the poorest region overall. Slower growth, easing inflation pressure and budget concerns will characterize future economic development in most new European Union member states, according to a new report by the World Bank. The report said most new EU members, including the Czech Republic, have sufficiently tight 2005 budgets, but weak popular support and upcoming elections have slowed reform efforts. The Czech Union of Brewers and Malt Houses has asked the Ministry of Agriculture to help end the so-called real beer advertisements launched by Budějovický Budvar, the only major Czech brewery still in state hands. The union claims that Budvar's campaign, under the banner Ten Commandments of Bona Fide Czech Beer, indirectly and unfairly accuses other Czech brewers of skimping on quality. Toyota of Japan and French carmakers PSA Peugeot Citroën are set to begin production at their joint venture plant in the Czech town of Kolín by end of February. The plant, called TPCA, will be able in the future to produce 300,000 cars a year, most of which will be sold in Western Europe. At a cost of nearly $1.7 billion, the factory is among the biggest foreign investments in Central Europe to date. Analyst Pavel Sobíšek of HVB said this week that TPCA's exports should help bring the Czech Republic's trade deficit close to zero. The German petrol station company Aral announced this week that it is planning to leave the Czech market by the end of the year and is looking to sell all 70 of its Czech stations. There are over 2,100 petrol stations in the Czech Republic. Every fourth one is foreign-owned. Austrian newspapers have speculated that Aral's chain will be sold to OMV.
Thanks, Martin. And now to our main feature. The chairman and founder of the Microsoft Corporation, Bill Gates, was in Prague on Wednesday. He came to deliver a speech at the close of the Government Leaders Forum, a kind of talking shop for information and communication technology insiders and leading politicians, sponsored by the U.S. software giant. It's a big annual event for Microsoft, and about a dozen current and former heads of government, as well as European commissioners and IT sector specialists, were in attendance. But aside from the buzz surrounding that conference, at which a host of issues of interest to IT business and the people who regulate the industry were discussed, this was also a big week for Czech-Microsoft bilateral relations, if you will. The software company signed a contract with the Czech National Security Office, giving the Czech Republic access to Microsoft's source codes. That's something the company has done with about 20 European governments so far, and a significant vote of confidence in the stability of the political system here, although nothing extraordinary. But Microsoft is also looking at forming a creative alliance with the main fixed-line operator here, Český Telecom, and its subsidiary, the mobile operator Eurotel, for home entertainment services. What's more, Microsoft is considering building a European service center in Prague. So that's all very well and good, you might ask, but what does it have to do with me? Well, odds are that nearly everyone listening to this program or who has attended that Prague conference has been putting money into Bill Gates' pockets for years now. That is, if you or your company bought or are using a legitimate copy of the Windows operating system and related Microsoft software. You are, aren't you? Because here's the big news. Microsoft recently announced measures aimed at ensuring that you pay for a legal copy of Windows before you get any OS add-on features or updates. The corporation is even extending this restriction to security updates, potentially placing millions of software pirates and their families at risk. At least that's the way some people see it. From the 7th of February, Microsoft will add support for 20 new language versions of XP for their opt-in Windows Genuine Advantage program. Users of Norwegian, Czech, and simplified Chinese language versions of Windows will be required to verify the authenticity of their copy of Windows. Yes, Czech language versions. Software piracy here, while on the wane, is still well above the European average. As of next month, customers using the Czech, Norwegian, and Chinese versions of Windows will not be able to use a Microsoft download website unless they have a valid copy of Windows, so says the director for Microsoft Genuine Windows Program. By the second half of 2005, all users, not just Czech, Norwegian, and Chinese, will be required to participate in the Windows Genuine Advantage Program. It's a name you will come to know. In order to download anything at all from the Microsoft Download Center or Windows Update. But Microsoft Chairman Bill Gates on Wednesday also launched an initiative to accelerate innovation and science and computing in Europe. So that's good news. Speaking to journalists in Prague, Mr. Gates said that the Euroscience Initiative would bring together talented people from universities and research centers throughout the continent. As part of the Euroscience Initiative, Microsoft plans to invest in a network of centers tied to key research institutions in Europe. The initiative also aims to support the so-called Lisbon Strategy. That's a plan to make Europe the world's most competitive economy by the year 2010. Within the strategy, EU governments like the Czech Republic's are expected to boost research and development spending, cut bureaucracy and social spending, and earmark more funds for education. A memorandum of understanding was signed by Mr. Gates and the Italian Minister of Education in Prague on Wednesday. It was not immediately clear which other centers might follow, but Mr. Gates said the program would not be limited to Western Europe. "We're sure there are great universities in the new EU member countries as well," he said. As Mr. Gates also found time for a tête-à-tête with the Czech president, Václav Klaus, perhaps he has Prague in mind.
Business Report there. We're out of time. From me, Peter Smith, until next time. Bye-bye from all here at Radio Prague.
Andanci veski amande a vlas mi dopra obudí les duka opelas menanjana v sote kere o šero manduka taj sa hvala čes madara. So my day, I'm in Roma. I'm in Roma.